Morning. Always wonderful to come out and study God's Word, to come out and sing praises among one another, to be here to study His Word as we have the opportunity to do so. It's always an encouragement to be with the brethren and sister in Christ here, to come out and to uplift each other and be uplifted to myself. A few weeks back, and Brother Kevin had come forward and he had mentioned he just desired not to go back into sin, to go back into the old path, going back and to go back into the old way. And what I want to talk about this morning is not to focus on Brother Kevin, but to focus on all of us in that mindset of not desiring to go backwards, but to continue to move forward, to continue to do good in the Word of God. So we're going to talk about preventing backsliding. Simply the desire not to go backwards, the desire to not to backslide in the Word of God, in the kingdom, and in His work that He has commanded us to go into, to spread the Word, to grow spiritually, to make sure that we don't go into sin, make sure we don't go back to the old path in which we have chosen put behind us. When we had chosen to obey the gospel, we repented of our sins, meaning we went the other direction. As you were walking in sin and you had made them okay with certain things, that you put that behind you. How to prevent that? How to stay on the right course? And staying on the right course, one point to bring out is simply to listen to God. If we are continuously studying His Word, we are continuously listening to what our Father has to say. And that's going to help push us in the right direction. If we stop listening to our God, stop opening up His Word, then we are going to forget. We are going to have other things on our mind. And Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2, the first Psalm and reading verses 1 and 2. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night." There it says, the good man, the blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly. But here he says he meditates. This man who is blessed, it says he meditates on God's law daily. Meaning he takes time aside, or even when he's busy, when other things, you know, we go through our mind. We can be at work, or we can be going grocery shopping, and things are running through your mind. Or you're meditating on certain things. A lot of people get focused on what was on the news, and they focus on maybe how the polls went with the voting, and their minds are focused on how the things of this world are going on, and their minds are focused on what they need to get done, but they don't ever take the time to just focus on the words of God. They meditate on the verses of love, and they maybe meditate on being a shining light, and they meditate on all that God has blessed us with, and they meditate on things that we need to put behind us to help us remember what it is we do not need to participate in. Meditating on His Word. Having these things run through our mind. Continuing to think about the words of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Here it's saying, His Word is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. That is what the Word of God should be. As we think about it, in this world of darkness, in this world of sin, being led by the ways that Satan wants us to follow, our minds are focused upon God's Word because it is a light in all this darkness. As we can see all the bad things going on in this world and wondering what is going to happen, where are we going to go, we need to remember
we can think about and meditate on the Scriptures, we'll see a light at the end of the tunnel. We'll see the good that can come forth. We see it doesn't matter what happens up on this earth. As we remain faithful to God, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for you, waiting for me. We can just remain faithful. If we can put the worldly things behind us, though everyone seems to be going in one direction, we can stay on the straight and narrow path. There's a light. There's a home in heaven that the Lord has went and prepared for you. But that means we have to keep these things on our minds. Continuously studying and opening up the Scriptures. Romans 10 and in verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And we continue to study His Word. Continuing to open up the Scriptures. But if we just stick with the first part of that Scripture, we stick with faith comes by hearing. The question is what are you listening to? Because if we don't ever open up the Scriptures and study it and make that what we're listening to, make that what we're studying, and we simply focus on what others are saying, we focus what's on the news, we focus on what everybody else is accepting, what everybody else is teaching, and it starts to wander in our mind saying, why isn't this okay? Because, you know, there are so many over here that are playing instruments in their worship. And there are so many in the world that are accepting homosexuality. And there are so many in the world that just get divorced for any reason, any cause, anything at all. They get remarried. And this question, why is it wrong? Why do we continue in that path? What is wrong? And the reason is because of the Word of God. That's what we have to focus our minds on. That's where our faith needs to come from. Is what does the Scriptures have to say? We want to keep from going into sin, keep from backsliding away from our working God. Then we have to continuously open up the Scriptures, continuously study and examine the truth. Acts 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17, and reading there in verse 11, it says, those were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And when we hear something, and you question it, whether or not it's right or wrong, whether or not this is the course we need to take, don't just sit there and think up for yourself, but open up the Bible and see. Check the Scriptures to see if it's so. Check to see what God thinks about the matter, what God has to say about the matter. Whether it is right or wrong, whether or not this is something you're supposed to do or not. Search the Scriptures to see whether or not it is. 2 Timothy 2, and verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it tells us, diligent to present yourselves approved unto God, a workman not ashamed of rightly dividing the truth. Be diligent, continuously studying the Word of God, opening up the Scriptures so that we can prove ourselves workmen of God. Because we know the right from the wrong. We can rightly divide the word of truth. We can say that's not what that Scripture means because it's not in context. This is what it means. The only way of knowing that is by studying. By opening up the Scriptures and studying. Looking and seeing what God really has to say. Studying the Scriptures. This next point I kind of talked about recently as we had done a lesson on prayer. Simply talking to God is going to help us. That's going to help prevent us from backsliding. It's having that relationship with God. Now, as we talk about prayer, I have a point before we get into the verses telling us that we need to pray and how it's going to help us. But one in Proverbs 28 and verse 9, if you will. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9 tells us we need to keep that, keep st- searching the scriptures continuously with our prayer life. It says here, it says, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. You know, if we stop searching the scriptures, but yet we call upon God when we're in hard times. Say, God, I need your help. Please help me. Help me get out of this situation. Help me to get better. Give me this. Give me that. But yet we don't ever open up the scriptures. We don't ever study his word to see what he has to say. To see where maybe he's going to point you. It says that that prayer is an abomination. It's a two-way street in this scenario. The fact that we are to talk to God, but we also have to be willing to listen to what he has to say. By listening to his words through the scripture. By studying the Bible. Yes, we need to pray. We need to pray daily and we need to pray continuously. But we have to search the scriptures also. Psalm 66, verse 16. Psalm 66, starting in verse 16. It says, come and hear all you who fear God. And I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy. And he knows God heard us. When we talked about prayer in the lesson before, we talked about how we have to have faith that he hears us. Believe that he can answer us. Believe that he will give it to us. We have faith in God. We have to pray to him. We can't just expect it to happen. We have to talk to our Father. Pray to our Lord and Savior. Pray through our Lord and Savior. Pray to our Lord. James chapter 5. We'll turn there with me. James chapter 5. James 5, starting in verse 13, says, if anyone is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. If anyone's cheerful, let him sing a song. Is anyone among you sick, let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Even goes further to give us an example in verse 17. It says, Elijah was a man with nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly, it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced it. Showing the power God has. Don't put anything past what he can do for you. If you truly have faith in him, and if you're willing to pray, he can help. Here gives us an example. Elijah, he prayed that it would not rain. It did not rain for 3 years, 3.5 years. The moment he prayed again, it gave the rain. I'm not saying God's necessarily going to give you that big of a gift. You need strength. If you need wisdom and guidance, if you need help getting out of temptation, you need his help. He will be. We have to be willing to go to him. I love verse 16. Verse 16 where it tells us to confess our trespasses to one another. For the prayer of a righteous man avails much. It talks about how one person, a righteous man's prayer, one who is right in the sight of God, one who is keeping his commandments, continuously trying to do what is right when he knows he has done wrong, he repents and asks for forgiveness. His prayer does a lot. But this verse ain't talking about just one person praying. This verse says, confess your trespasses to one another so that we all can pray for you. That means it's not just one man's prayer, but a lot. That means it's the congregation's prayer. If one does so much, then all of us praying for each other should be much better. If we are keeping his commandments, if we're continuing in that right path. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always, pray always. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, telling us to pray at all times, praying always. We need to have prayer in our life. If we don't want to go the other direction, if we truly desire to continue to move forward in our faith, continue to move forward in the work of God, then we need God on our side. Therefore, we need to be praying to Him. We don't want to backslide. We're continuing to stay on the same path, continuing to move forward. We need to be willing to talk about it. You know, we study His Word, we pray to Him. We can do that at home without anyone even knowing. And then the rest of the day, when you're out in the world, when you're out shopping, when you're out at work, when you're out among friends, you talk about what? Talk about children, talk about sports, talk about politics, talk about, do we ever talk about God? Talk about the Scriptures. Talk about, and you might have that, well, I don't want to be that one person. Always bringing up God, always talking about this. Why? God in Christ should be our life. He should be guiding us in every decision that we make of whether or not it's going to have consequences in my faith. Is this going to cause anyone else to struggle? Am I going to be a hindering stone to someone else? We need to be asking these things. Or we have to be willing to talk about it. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Here, of course, he's speaking to Titus, who was out there actually preaching the word. But it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own people zealous for good works. Speak these things. Exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. As he goes forth, we talk about all these wonderful things. Talk about the things we need to put off. Talk about how God has given his life for us. Then he says, don't keep it to yourself. Speak these things. This is wonderful news. Once again, we talk about all the bad news that goes on and that's taking place, but we don't speak about the good. What better news is there that there is hope? That there is a home in heaven? That Jesus died for you? James chapter 3 and verse 9. James chapter 3, and reading here in verse 9, it says, with it we bless our God, speaking about our tongue, speaking about our mouth. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Once again, it comes from, what are we talking about? What's coming out of your mouth? We need to watch what we're saying. We should be talking praising Him, blessing, praying for our enemies, as we talked about the other day. Blessing them, continuing to make sure we speak about God. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." It says, if we're going to speak, let it be something that's going to help. That is going to point those who are listening to us in the right direction. What is necessary for edification and may impart the grace to you. Think about that. People we run into, people we talk to. How many people do we talk to today that are not Christians? Have not obeyed the gospel? And do we even send the invite? Do we even make it known, hey, I'd love to see you come be at worship with us? Or to say, hey, you mind if we say a prayer together? I'd like to pray. Or to bring up, I love God. Simple little things that we can do to simply start to plant a seed. I hope we'll point them in the right direction. I believe this is what it's getting to when we read in Romans chapter 10. You're reading talking about confessing. Confessing, truly confessing. Not just the coming forward and saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before you're baptized. Confessing. Jesus making the point, Matthew is saying, whoever denies me, him, I will deny him. We're too ashamed to talk about our Lord and Savior. Too ashamed to talk about God out in the world. And he will not confess us. We're willing to confess him. We're willing to speak about him. Willing to stand up for what is right. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. It says here, if anyone speaks, let him speak as oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in it all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Once again, here brings out the point. If you're going to talk, what better subject is it? Once again, I'm not saying we can't ever go forth and talk about politics, or go forth and talk about how your day is going, and go forth and talk about the sports. Right? I'm not saying we don't ever talk about these other things in our lives. We need to be willing to bring up God. Willing to talk about our faith. Wanting to spread the good news. Wanting to talk about our Lord and Savior. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 verse 17. Tell us, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Thanks to God the Father. Anything we do, we need to be talking about God. Because if we're talking about God, if we're there and we're amongst the world, you're willing to talk about God, you're willing to bring Him up. One, hopefully it'll be a reminder to you that they invite you to go do something that you know is wrong, that you know the Word of God speaks against. Remind you not to go forth. Or when you talk about God, they know that you are a Christian, one who fears God, and maybe they won't even invite you to do it. Maybe they'll keep it from doing these things around you because they know that you love God. You want to prevent backsliding. Talk about God. Be willing to speak about it. And of course, be busy in His work. Be a doer of His work. What He has commanded us to do. We are busy in His service. That's going to help us move forward. We're always staying back and we're just simply looking at the tasks that need to be getting done. We just get more just going to pile on and you're we're going to continue to get farther behind, do something for God. As in, talking about it. As in, extending the invitation, inviting people to services, calling a brother or sister in Christ, checking up on one another. James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Well, that verse is a strong verse. Verse is a hard verse. How many times do we pass up a good opportunity? How often do we see something and, you know, that'd be something that I should do, but I'm too tired right now. That's something I should do, and it would be a good thing to do. I just don't want to right now. Sin who knows to do good, doesn't he? That's not saying that, him who knows to do good and can't get to it, cannot do it. Because there are things that come up. Has brought out. We have those who are not with us this morning, those who have been sick, those who are dealing with health issues. They know it's good to be here, but they can't get out. It's about those who know that we should be here and choose not. Those who know that it is good. Study the scriptures to pray to God. Help one another. We don't do these things. We're forgetting what the Word of God has to say. That's what James 1:25 speaks of. James 1:25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, once again, we talk about reading and studying, it says, one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word. This one will be blessed. It can't all be about just reading His Word. It can't all be about just praying that He takes care of everything. But we have to act. We have to do our part. We have to continue to do His work. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Matthew 5, verse 16, just reading that part as it's talking about being a light. Matthew 5, verse 16, here at the end part of that. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. It says, let your light shine. Let it be known that you are happy in Jesus. You know, when we wake up and it may be a rainy, dark, cloudy day. And it may be a day where you got a lot to get done. It may be a day that not all things are just going the right way for you. But if you can continue to wear a smile and be happy, because one thing you know is that Jesus died for you, and that if you remain faithful, there's a home in heaven. A reason to be happy every day. Every day. And people see that. People can see that, man, things just don't seem to be going good for him, but yet he's still happy for a reason. That light is shining. And may glorify God for your good works. Let us shine our light. Let us be zealous for good works. We read Titus 2, verse 14 earlier, but we'll turn to Titus 2 and read verses 7 and 8. Titus 2, reading there in verses 7 and 8. It says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say. They say because of your good works, because that you're watching what we're saying, because we speak of Christ, they have nothing against you. They have nothing they can say evil against you, because there isn't anything out there. You are a hard worker. You are a good worker. And when things go bad, you don't go and talk bad about other people. You don't go forward and talk behind the boss's back. You just continue to do your shining our light and being zealous for good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 talk about being the workmanship. God has created us to be for His workmanship so that we can do His good works. We are His tools. He desires to use. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, steadfast, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. Sometimes that can be what pushes us back also. Is that we work and we do good and we do our part, and yet sometimes it just don't seem like anything gets done. Sometimes it feels like no one even notices. You know, we kind of talk about that. Our Bible class lately. Making sure we show appreciation for all that everyone is doing. Not just focusing on certain people, but everybody. Seeing the work that is being done. And if you don't know who's done it, maybe just let the person who's doing it now say, hey, make sure you say thanks to whoever took care of this job. Whoever came in throughout the week and make sure that, you know, that they cleaned the place up and that went forward there. Maybe did some stuff outside. God, thanks, take care. Show appreciation. Continuing to do good. Because as in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom. But those who do, those who are doing the will of our Father, are you busy in His work? I hope that the lesson this morning is words of encouragement to help push us forward. To guide us in things that to keep us from backsliding. Keep us from going back into sin. From going the wrong direction. Simply focusing on God. Keeping our minds on the right task. Remembering that He is always there. So anytime you desire to go to prayer, He's there. Anytime you need guidance, if you own a Bible, if you own a phone, you can reach His Word. You can study it. Let it guide you in the right direction. There's always work to be done. There's always room in the Lord's kingdom for work to be done. There's always someone out there that needs to hear the truth. There's always room for us to continue to do it. If you are here this morning, you need prayers for congregation. Or if you desire to be baptized, you desire to be added to His kingdom. We have the baptistry ready. You can be baptized in Christ and have your sins. Whatever you need to do, let it be known.
Shadows around.